Hey, poker people, it's Sky Matsuhashi, and this is the Smart Poker Study Podcast. In episode 138 last week, I dove into poker math with a discussion about pot and hold equity. I also took a little stroll down math memory lane with mathematical excerpts from prior episodes. Hey, poker people, only 3 weeks of school left until the kids will be home with me 24/7 for all of summer break. And that always makes it a little tough to get work done, you know, but I will persevere and I'll continue to get stuff out to you weekly. I'll also have to master procrastination if I'm going to succeed at that. And I think I'm starting to get it under control because of Dr. Trisha Cardner's course on procrastination called Crack the Code. It's a premium course you can find on her training site at www.peakpokermindset.com. We talk about that and many other things in the interview today that I do with, or that I did with Dr. Cardner. But before that, I will be heading out to Vegas once again for the Colossus. I'm actually in day one, flight A, the very first flight at 10 a.m. on Friday. I already bought my ticket, you know, registered online through WSOP.com, so I won't miss it like I did the year before last, you know. I am so looking forward to it, and I'm getting warmed up with some live MTTs this week at my local card room, and I actually have another one going on tonight, so wish me luck. And while I'm in Vegas, we are going to have a Smart Poker Study meetup in the bowling alley of the Gold Coast Casino across the street from the Rio. It's going to be on Saturday, March 3rd at 1 p.m. So please look for me and my wife in the bar area with a few pitchers of beer for everyone. I'll be putting it out there on Facebook and on Twitter in the days leading up to it, of course, so that, you know, just to reconfirm or to verify with you that I'm going to be there so you don't show up and I'm not there or anything. And, you know, I said we're going to have some pitchers of beer. And if you don't drink beer, too bad. No, I'm just kidding. I'll actually buy you a Coke. I'll buy you a rum Coke. I'll buy you a rum on the rocks, whatever, maybe even some house Pinot Noir. Just come on by and hang out for a little bit. I'm looking forward to meeting each and every one of you. Alrighty, on to the interview with Dr. Trisha Cardner. Please visit the show notes page for everything I discussed today, along with screenshots and links at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod139. And while you're there, you can sign up for the weekly boost for exclusive poker strategy direct to that inbox. Alrighty, let's do this. Gambate!
And now for our feature presentation.
Alrighty, poker people. I am so privileged to have Dr. Trisha Cardner as my guest today. She's a psychology professor and a licensed therapist who has turned her attention to the poker world. Not only that, but she's one of us. She's a poker player, so she really understands what we go through and actually like what we put ourselves through. She coaches players on how to use psychology to gain an edge over the competition. She's got her own podcast called Poker on the Mind that she hosts with an MTT pro and another coach, Gareth James. She's written two books, Peak Poker Performance and Positive Poker. She wrote a killer chapter within Excelling at No Limit Hold'em, which I'm sure a lot of my listeners have read by now. And she has some poker courses at peakpokermindset.com. And in particular, today we'll talk about her procrastination course called Crack the Code, Free Yourself from Procrastination, which I love, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Through everything she does, her goal is to teach players to play and remain at their peak performance level. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Cardner.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you about all things psychology and poker.
Great. Me too. Yeah. Thank you very much. You know, I was so surprised just the first time we got in contact. I guess it was just via Twitter. I don't remember how it happened. Did you reach out to me or did I reach out to you? Oh, I think I know what it was. I was talking about your stuff on my... that's exactly what it was. I was talking about it on my 28 days of study. And then Al Spath said, "Hey, where's Dr. Trisha Cardner?" Cause he thought I was going to actually have an interview with you, but instead I was just kind of talking about the stuff I was learning from you. And then you reached out to me from that.
Yep. And Al Spath, that is going way, way back, because when I first got started in poker, and this has been a long time ago, Al Spath ran something called Poker School Online. He was like the dean of it, right? And so this was probably 2006, maybe. And I go to the Google and I'm like, where do you learn poker, right? Or how to learn poker? Yeah. Because I had gotten involved in a little home game. And so, but I didn't know anything about poker. I never played cards prior to that. And so I Googled that in and it was like poker school online. And I was like, okay, that sounds reasonable.
It does. And- yeah, it's the perfect name for something, huh? You know exactly what it is when you see that.
So he was the dean of that. Now people know Poker School Online. It's been absorbed into Poker Stars. But in those days, it was, you know, a standalone. And they had a lot of materials, I mean, from old school people like Doyle Brunson and, you know, because Al Spath's been around poker forever and a day.
Yeah.
So, but I remember very vividly that I hadn't been playing all that long. And I won a seat to play the ladies event at the World Series.
Okay.
And that was my first introduction to the World Series, right? Mm-hmm. And so Al said, do you want me to give you some tips? And I was like, yes. And we Skyped. And then he gave me these tips. But the one I remember the most was he said, no matter what action you take, just like pick a spot on the felt and like look at that spot. So you'd be like, you raise and you look at the spot, or like whatever you call, you look at the spot, you only look at that spot. And I was like, okay, that's the one I remember the most.
Yeah.
So you're not giving anything away, but mm-hmm. Yep. my how times have changed though. Now, obviously I've come, you know, a long way from Poker School Online. And
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Great. So, I know that you are, you know, you maybe used to be, maybe you still do, psychology, you're a professor of psychology as well as a licensed therapist. Do you still do those things, or are you just poker and poker mindset and poker psychology now?
Well, that's a great question. I actually gave up being a professor just a couple of years ago. I started making far too much money playing poker. And I wanted to just have more time to play poker, quite yeah. frankly. So I am still licensed, of course. I keep my license up. I pay every 2 years for that. And, you know, have to do all my continuing education and that sort of thing. Hmm. But I do feel like I still teach quite a lot of psychology, because that is my main sort of game or flavor, if you will. I like teaching people the things that they need to know. And by people, really right now, I mean poker players mostly, mm-hmm. but what you need to know to become the most successful. And I feel a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm going to have to pay a lot of money to a poker coach and get hourly sessions. And I do have some clients that I do work with on an hourly session. That's true. But I don't want to keep people on the dole for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. I prefer to think of myself more as a consultant or a strategist, where I can very quickly pinpoint what you need and what you should do about it. So that's kind of my one-on-one sessions, I think, are a lot different than the other coaches for that yeah. reason. And, you know, of course, I put out a lot of these other products because I believe that for a lot of things, you can just teach yourself and you don't even need to be on the hook for
absolutely,
you know, many hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So you said, so your students go session by session. Is it normally like mm-hmm. it takes three sessions until they feel confident and can move on without you and maybe they'll come back? Or is it five sessions, or is it only one or two?
Sometimes it's one or two. It really depends on what the issue is. So sometimes it's one or two, sometimes it's three to five. I have a lot of people that I'll see for a couple sessions, couple three, and then they go off and they work on things. And then maybe I hear from them months later. Mm. But most people I do hear back from, but it'll be, you know, some amount of time. And then maybe they run into something else and then we catch back up and, mm-hmm. you know, they get some more ideas, strategies, feedback. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Then I have a few people that I work with who want a much higher level of accountability because they may have some outside factors. So mm-hmm. maybe they have some issues with ADHD, or maybe depression, anxiety also come up quite a bit, or perhaps even drugs and alcohol, where, you know, maybe they're trying to really change their whole life around that. Mm-hmm. And so that takes a little bit higher level of accountability.
Absolutely. Seems like it will. Yeah. A lot more work on your part and a lot more, I guess, diving into your past experiences as mm-hmm. a licensed therapist and as a professor, diving into all of that, like kind of ignoring the poker stuff, but getting to the more root of their just regular psychological issues.
Right. But what mm-hmm. people have to realize is that if you have issues, problems, concerns off the table, those are going to manifest themselves on the table. And playing poker can actually make a lot of that stuff worse.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine so. Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, you know, do you watch The Walking Dead?
Actually, that's one show I haven't gotten into.
Okay. No. Well, earlier you had just mentioned that you can, you know, assess somebody quickly, dive in there and help them fix their problems. In The Walking Dead, our main group of heroes, every time they meet somebody new, they ask them three questions. How many walkers have you killed? How many people have you killed? And then why? Like, why have you killed the people? So those are their three questions to get to the root of the person, to understand them, how they've survived for like 2 years in this post-apocalyptic world, you know? What are three of the questions that you would ask somebody? If I contacted you right now, I said, Dr. Cardner, I need help. I'm tilting all over the place. I've spewed off 5 buy-ins a night. What do I do? Like, what are the first 3 questions you would ask me?
Well, I think I like to, I don't work that much with pure tilt. So that's just one thing to know. Oh. But I like to find out from people, what do they do that's actually working? So I want to know that. So that way we can do more of that. I want to find out what triggers you. So even people who are tilty, for lack of a better term, the reason I don't like that word is because it's too sort of all encompassing, right? And people just use it for everything. When you use it for everything, it means nothing.
Yeah.
But people have various patterns of behavior. And so what triggers that for you? So I'd want to find out about those triggers. I'd want to find out what you have attempted so far to solve this problem. But having said that, even people who say like, I'm super tilty or I tilt a lot, they don't tilt all the time. So it's really important to figure out what's different between those times that you do versus the times that you don't. Mm-hmm. And then you can often find a lot of solutions when you look at the times that you're able to keep it together. Yeah. You might notice like, oh, you know, if I meditated before the session, I do better. Well, then that tells you, oh, guess what? I need to really have a program where I meditate before the session. Mm-hmm. Or you might go, oh, if I played late the night before and didn't get a good night's sleep, I find that I tend to blow up more. Oh, okay. Hey, yeah. There's an idea. We know that you probably need to pay attention to that. And I'm real big on paying attention to the fundamentals as well. So fundamentals, eating, sleeping, exercise, all of that affects the brain. So I'm real into the brain and how do you optimize it for best results? Some things come down to just scheduling, and we can get all more into that, but that's kind of, you know, the highlights of,
gotcha.
I don't say like, what happened to you when you were 5 years old?
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. It sounds like, I shouldn't say it sounds like, I know that from reading your book, Peak Poker Performance, and then going through the Crack the Code course, just being aware of something being an issue helped me to just learn, or of course I learned about it, but it helped me to realize what's causing these issues and how I could just go about fixing them myself, basically. Is that what happens to a lot of your students? Like you just tell them some things and something clicks in their mind and they realize, holy cow, I should have been doing this the whole time, or I should never do this.
Absolutely. It's shining the light on things. So it's almost like I'm a psychological detective, if you will.
Absolutely. So,
when we are aware of things, and what most of us do is we just go along meandering through life. We don't really track things. We don't pay attention. We're not very conscious or deliberate about things. And when that happens, we don't really know why this happens or why we did that or, you know, anything. But once we start tracking and measuring, it's just like if you were in business, you need to know what inputs are going to provide you with the best outputs, right? Mm-hmm. And also you'll hear the saying garbage in, garbage out. There's some of that too, but it's the same thing. It's awareness, it's tracking, it's being very meticulous with all that, and then looking for patterns and seeing how you can change up any dysfunctional patterns.
Absolutely. Yeah. One old quote that I often think about and I use that kind of sums that up for me is, you know, you can't improve what you don't track. And that's a big thing I learned in business when I was working at, you know, on the corporate side of things.
Yeah,
learned that for sure.
So if you were on the corporate side of things, you may even have an awareness of things like executive coaching, or, you know, you probably heard of that. So way back in the day, we got to get in our time machine and go back. But I was really into executive coaching and actually did a lot of that. So I did a lot of executive coaching and a lot of work with professional athletes as well before I ever got into poker.
Yeah.
So yeah, I use little bits and pieces from all those sorts of experiences to either use metaphors or stories or help people come up with things. But as it goes in business, it goes, you know, personally a lot of times.
Absolutely. It does. Yeah. And then the skills that you do, the things that you do from the past, everything just builds upon each other or builds upon itself and turns you into the person that you are today. So I'm sure, I would imagine, like with all those past experiences, not just helping people with their personal life, but like you said, the executive coaching and stuff, all of that builds and turns you into, and it's pretty evident in your book and in your coachings, in your course, that you really know your stuff. And I think that you are a great teacher, and I've really enjoyed learning from you so far. Yeah,
thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, I really love teaching people how to make their lives better. Mm-hmm. That's just like a real passion for me. I just, you know, I studied with a guy who, this won't mean a lot to your listeners probably because you have to be, you know, in psychology, but one of the great thinkers in psychology was a guy named Alfred Adler. And I studied with a professor who, by the time I got to graduate school, Adler's been dead many decades. Hmm. And this professor, Wilbur Willingham was his name. He's now passed on too, but he was at the very, very end of his career. So he was an old guy, but he worked with Alfred Adler's right-hand man. Hmm. And so this was made a very big impression on me. But Alfred Adler, one of his biggest things was that you have to take psychology to the people. And he believed very strongly that when we have this knowledge that can help people, we have an obligation and a duty to take this information and put it out to the masses. So this is a little bit different than, say, like a Freudian kind of viewpoint. And Adler was a contemporary of Freud's. Mm-hmm. They were kind of frenemies, if you will.
Yeah. They were like two lawyers sitting down at a bar fighting each other during the day in the court, but then they can have a drink and quietly hate each other in the bar at night.
But yeah, so this idea that you take psychology and you give it to the people, you show them how to use it. You don't keep it hidden like, well, I'm the expert and you have to come to me and I only dole out a little bit here and there to you. No, that's not the Adlerian way. So that was a really big influence on me. And so that's what I try and do with my books, my podcasts, my articles, you know, yada, yada. I mean, yes, I do have to make a living, but I do try to give away as much as I can. And if I am going to make a course, I do two things with it. I try and make it so there's no fluff in it because I don't like fluff.
Yeah.
I want people to be like, okay, I need to do this, this, and this. So I want to make it as concise as it can be and as helpful as it can be within those parameters.
Good. Yeah. And you've absolutely done that with Crack the Code, the procrastination course. And if anybody listening saw the 28 days of poker study, I went through the course. I showed them my 6,000 words worth of notes on the course, you know, my one sheet at the end and everything. And, you know, I always knew that I'm a habitual procrastinator, like I told you. I'm part of that 20% of people that just cannot help but procrastinate. But it never occurred to me that it was the issue that it is, that it can lead to so many other problems and things just building and waterfall, you know, cascading problems down upon my head because I'm just not doing things when I know I should, you know? And then so just going through the course opened my eyes to that. And I want to know, you know, in your book, Peak Poker Performance, the chapter on procrastination was an awesome chapter. It was such a good chapter. I loved reading it. But going through the course, for whatever reason, you know, when you go through a course, you see videos instead of reading content, you're seeing videos, you're hearing your voice. There's exercises at the end of each part that help you to really get the knowledge sunk in and work through your problems yourself, you know, just by some question prompts that you give. That kind of stuff really helped me big time. But I'm wondering, why did you, because I never thought procrastination was an issue. Why did you choose procrastination as a course topic? Because it never would have occurred to me that's something that I should work on. I'm so happy that you did. I love it that you did. But I was just surprised to see that as a topic.
Well, in my time is working with human beings in general and poker players in particular, I learned a lot of the people that I coach in poker, procrastination ends up being the biggest issue. So they know, they go, oh, I know I need to do X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, I meant to, you know, like say you bought the hand reading lab and you say, well, God, I meant to go through that. But, you know, it's like 25 videos and I didn't go through it. Or I'll have people say, oh, I knew I should do those hand reviews and I should do like one or two hand reviews every day, but then I just don't get around to it or whatever. So I know in my heart that procrastination is a key pain point that is keeping people away from peak performance in all walks of life, period. Mm-hmm. So if you get rid of procrastination, then you're well on your way to achieving most anything.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And I found that, you know, as I was going through the course, I just started thinking about my entire life in general. And I just procrastinate way too much. Like, for example, we had a sprinkler problem in the backyard. Sprinklers weren't going, so we shut off the system. The grass was dying. So finally, I decided to go out there. And it took me seven minutes to fix the sprinkler problem. And I could have saved myself 2 weeks of headaches of thinking about, oh, I don't want to go out there. Oh, what's wrong with the sprinklers? I don't know what's happening. And then if I would have just done it 2 weeks ago for 7 minutes, would have solved that problem. I wouldn't have dead grass in the backyard. And then so I really think that your course has really opened my eyes to how bad of a thing procrastination is, for sure.
Yeah, it can get you in so many ways. And it's very interesting because there's so many different theories about procrastination, a lot of research on it. But there's a couple of things. There's an idea that if something is only going to take, you know, 2 minutes or less, you just do it right then. And that prevents a lot of problems. And another issue has to do, there's a lot of research around future self. And so we almost look at future self, our future self, as it's a stranger to us.
Yeah.
And we treat these strangers very poorly. So we're not realizing when I treat future self poorly, I'm treating myself poorly. Mm-hmm. So there's this idea that, oh, I should think, can I do something right now that's going to make life for my future self easier or better? And then if the answer is yes, so just do it. So now with your grass situation, it might even end up costing you more money because you might have to replace the grass or, mm-hmm. I don't know, get extra fertilizer for the grass, which takes more time out of your life, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you would have just went and done whatever it is you need to do, flick the buttons or whatever, it would have been done and fine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And I really loved your point about, I can't remember what it was, but Homer Simpson used Homer Simpson within the course as Homer says something like, that's a problem for future Homer or future self. And that is so, when you said that in the course, when you laid that out, how you're treating yourself worse than you're treating yourself now and you're just hurting yourself in the future, that really hit home with me. And I took that to heart. And I think that is one of the big things that's helping me to stop procrastinating as much. Good. I mean, I'm not 100% there and I don't think I ever will be. I think it's the kind of thing like with, you know, your mental state when you play poker or whatever it is, like it's something you have to continually work through. I think I'll get better and better and maybe I won't procrastinate 80% of the time in the future, you know, but I'm hoping to get just better and better as time goes on about it.
The funny thing about that Homer Simpson quote is there's like a second part to it where he's saying, oh, that's a problem for future Homer. But then he says, and man, I don't envy that guy.
That's right. Yes, that's right. That's right. I love that. I as much as possible, I try to quote The Simpsons. That's a great show. Love it. Yeah. Do you still watch it currently?
I haven't seen it lately, but every once in a while I'll see something because they not only are they just apropos in the moment, but if you go back and look at old episodes, they have such foresight, right? Mm-hmm. Like things that they did episodes on years ago are like coming true right now.
Absolutely.
And it's like so crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's crazy. Yeah. And they've been around for like 30 something seasons. And I remember back in the day, I used to love South Park, you know, and the South Park creators, they always said that it's so hard to come up with episodes because The Simpsons have done everything, everything you think of, The Simpsons have done it. So, yeah.
And it's so funny how there's a lot of good psychology in The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. Like you might not think so. Like you just might be thinking, oh, I'm just watching this, you know, to get a few laughs and whatever. But they really do. There's like a subtext flowing through there that has a lot of good psychology in it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yep, yep. So, you know, on peakpokermindset.com, you have this Crack the Code course. You also have the Rev Up Your Poker Success course and then your book bonus for Peak Poker Mindset, right? Of course, those second two courses are free. This one is a premium course, the Crack the Code. And I recommend to everybody to definitely get it. If you think procrastination might be an issue, heck, if you've read Peak Poker Performance and you like that chapter, you'll love the course, guaranteed. So I recommend everybody to check it out at peakpokermindset.com. But what future courses might you be working on? Because in the book, I can't remember the exact name of the chapter. Let me look real quick. The chapter is called Transform Your Mental Game.
Oh, yeah. Chapter 7. It's
chapter
a juicy
seven, yes.
one.
Yes. So I'm thinking that would be, it's ripe for a course in the future.
Absolutely. You know, I have a list up on my whiteboard, which you can't see. So I do intend to do courses on some things that people may think those are not fun topics, but I see them a lot. So I'm going to do depression, anxiety, and ADHD as separate courses, because there are a lot of people in the poker world who do have that. And I'm going to do a whole bunch on emotions management. A lot of that comes out of that chapter, that Transform Your Mental Game. Maybe I should even call the course Transform.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a lot of, you know, Peak Poker Performance is a book that I wanted people to take it and not just read it, but really do the stuff in it.
Yes.
There's a lot of, you know, little tables and worksheets, sort of worksheets, not really, but you know, you get the idea. You have to actually write it out yourself. But a lot of this would lend itself very well to, you know, courses. And then there's just so much more you can say in a course than you can put, you know, in like a 20 page chapter or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like you create the videos yourself and you're the one narrating and speaking through. So you can give the perfect emphasis to certain topics, you know, with your pronunciation or enunciation, I guess I should say. And I think that's why I like the courses so much better, because it's you giving it to me as opposed to me with my inner voice reading the book, you know?
Right, right. That's a really good point. But yeah, I've got a lot more coming down the pike. I just have to take a time out right now because I'm going to the series to play. So I'll be at the series, you know, from the time it starts till hopefully the bitter end.
Yeah, good. On Saturday, May 27th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be holding my next premium webinar. It's actually going to be a joint production between me and Mark Warner from ExceptionalPoker.com. And I know you remember him. He's the guy that created the killer fold equity / pot equity grid that I discussed back in episode 137 a couple weeks ago. He really does know his stuff, not just poker, but the poker maths as well. And we're going to team up for a webinar called Poker Mathematics. We'll be deep diving into the most important math and showing you how to practice it off the felt and how to use it on the felt. To learn more and to sign up, please visit www.smartpokerstudy.com/math webinar. If you go there right now and purchase the webinar before Monday the 22nd at midnight, you'll get 30% off the price of the webinar. So don't miss out. And you can find my book, How to Study Poker, Volume 1, in every format on Amazon.com. I've got ebook, I've got paperback, I've got an audiobook. So it's all there. When you go there and after you purchase the book, please read it, go through it, enjoy it, listen to it, love it, whatever. But please leave an honest review and send it to me afterwards. I'd love to read it on air and give you a little shout out by name for supporting the show. And of course, the big reason why is your reviews help spread the word about the book. Alrighty, let's get back to Dr. Gardner. Well, you were there the whole time last year, right?
Yes, okay. This will actually be my 10th World Series.
But for the full, you're there for the full 60 days or whatever?
I've done the full 60 days for 8 out of the 10.
Wow, I can't imagine.
I'm
Holy
a beast.
Cow. Yeah, you are? Oh, man. I mean, this will be my 5th year going, and I only go for like 5 days at a time. It's a lot of fun, but just Vegas itself, I'm not suited to Vegas, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
No, is anyone suited to Vegas?
I don't know. Nobody I know for sure. But so when you're there, I know you play cash games and tournaments, right? And I think on the last podcast I listened to of yours was episode number 5, and you said you're going to go, and you talked about this awesome schedule that a poker pro puts out there of all the different tournaments in Vegas. So it sounds like you spent your time not just at the Rio, but maybe at other casinos too. Are you playing a lot of tournaments or cash or a mixture?
Okay, so I play predominantly tournaments, but I've been working on my cash game for the last few months. So I'm hoping to put in quite a bit more cash this summer.
Great.
But what I do is I check the schedule, and then I try and look for things that I feel have the most value. And so tournament wise, it's not always things at the Rio. It depends on your bankroll, of course, but I'm not rolled so that I could just roll in and play, you know, a $1,500
event.
Like the whole way, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to go to the Venetian. Although, you know, there's some politics around that, but you know, girls got to go where the poker games are good.
Well, yeah. You got to go where the money is, where it's
right.
Ripe. Yep.
Wynn is really good. Planet Hollywood, I like a lot. Mm. And occasionally, not a lot, but I usually will hit one or two events, even down at Binion's, which is real old school. Mm-hmm. But I just, I just like it.
Yeah. You know? Gotcha. Yeah. Well, so you've been, from what you said earlier, you started off back in 06 or 05, I think you said 06 maybe, as a cash game. You said home game player. What were those home games? Were they tournament home games or just cash game home games?
I don't even know what you would call this hot mess. I was playing with a bunch of people who had seen poker on television, which is, I think, pretty much everybody in those days. And they were like, oh, let's play some poker. And the way we played it was almost like a hybrid, because it was like everybody would bring $20, but then we would actually be betting, you know, like, oh, this is 25 cents. Oh, this is a dollar. And then you'd end up leaving with whatever cash you won or lost. So it wasn't like a first, second, third for tournament. So I think it was like, nobody really knew what they were doing, and it was like a hot mess. Uh-huh. But
it was fun enough to make you go out and try to get education and stuff.
Well, here's what happened. I was playing with this group, and it was all guys and me. Mm-hmm. And my husband was in the military at the time, and so it was he was in the Air Force, and we were at Cheyenne, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. If anybody's ever been there, there's not a lot to do. And it was in the dead of winter, and so they wanted to have these games. And so I was like, there's nothing else to do. I'm just going to go to these games, right? Now, because of the quality of our play, which was terrible,
yeah,
I was convinced that I could learn this game and beat these boys. Mm-hmm. So that's what prompted me to start getting the education, right? So then I started learning a little bit. And then I said, okay, I had it in my mind. I thought just crazy things at the time. So bear with me, people. I know these are crazy stories. But I said to my husband, I want to go to Vegas for my birthday and play some cash. I don't know why I thought this, because I had only played in this basement a few times. And I had just seen, you know, a few little videos on PSO and even read like a few pages out of Phil Hellmuth had a book. I don't recommend it to anyone. It's not good. But I didn't know, how am I supposed to do that? So I said, it was my birthday was coming up, and I said, I want to go and I want to play cash. And of course, my husband was like, game on, let's do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we go. And right before we left, our vacuum cleaner had just blown up. Right. Uh-huh. And I said, I'm going to play cash and I'm going to get the money to buy a vacuum cleaner. And so we go to the Venetian and I sit down. I can't remember if it was 1-2 or 1-3. It was one of the two, though. Mm-hmm. And so I sit
down.
And
there was no limit at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And I only, it must have been 1-2 because I only bought in for $100. Mm-hmm. Like I did everything you should not do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So do not do these
You short things. Stacked the 1-2 game. Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. But you got to remember, this was like 06 or 07. Like,
yes.
No, but everybody was terrible. Right. And so my stack, I'm not playing well at all. And I get down to like $25. And my husband was actually on another table. And I went over to his table and he's like, how's it going? And I was like, it's not going very good at all. I only have like $25. And I wanted to get money for this vacuum cleaner. And so he was like, well, you can do it. And I said, you're right. I can do it. Uh-huh. And so I go back to the table and I'm like, I'm going to run this money up. And so I ran the $25 up to about $350. Hmm. And I just said, you know what? I'm out of here. I cashed the money out. We went and got that vacuum cleaner from the Sears. It's a Kenmore. We still have it to this day.
Nice.
So every time I look at it, I laugh.
Yeah.
But after that experience, I was like, I need to learn more about poker because I clearly know nothing. Mm-hmm. So I knew enough to know that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's really important for your listeners. You got to always know when you don't know. And so I went back to the drawing board and I was doing a little bit more studying. And then I got the idea that I would go play a tournament. I never played a tournament before, but I got the idea that we should go to Las Vegas and we should play a tournament. And I thought we should play at Binion's because that was where the World Series started. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, you know, I should go get a little history and a little.
There you go. Yeah.
Clearly, your listeners can probably ascertain that I did not grow up in any way a gambler. I'd never really even been to Vegas. I knew nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we go to the Binion's and we play. It's like a Saturday tournament. It was, I don't know, like a couple hundred dollars or something. It was actually pretty big. There were like a couple hundred people there. Mm-hmm. And so I play this tournament and I ended up cashing. I finished in like 14th or 15th out of the 250 people, something like that. So I know, I mean, it's not like great or anything, but that was enough to get me going like,
I bet I can imagine.
Mama needs to learn to play tournaments.
Yep. Yeah.
So then I kind of got off in that and I didn't play too much. I mean, I played cash here and there, but not so much. And then I really got into the tournament scene. So in 09, by 09, I was playing on Full Tilt. Boy, is this a blast for the past for everybody. And yeah. I ended up, they used to have those bracelet races. I don't know if you remember those.
I do remember them. Yes.
They were like $216 buy-ins. And so there were satellites essentially, and you get a $2,000 bracelet. Well, I was like, mama is not paying $216. So what I would do is I would play to get the $26 token. And then I would turn the 26 token into, like, I think it was a 75 or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, or sometimes the 26 would go straight to the 216. Mm. But either way, I was playing them off the $26 tokens. That was how I rolled. Yeah. And I ended up, I won 9 of those packages.
Holy, in 1 year.
Yeah, in like 6 weeks or something. Wow. It was just a few weeks. Yeah. So I had some money, plus I had 18 G's, just like free money, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, mama going to the series. And so that was the first year that I had went and set up camp for the whole summer.
Wow. Yeah.
And then once that happened, I was like, I'm never not going to go for the whole summer. Mm-hmm. That's what I've done ever since. So.
Well, that's great. Where do you, when you go there for the full month, do you get a Airbnb or just a rental house for like 2 months, or what's going on?
Yeah, I just get a rental house. Mm-hmm. Well, I usually, let me be clear, I don't want to mislead anybody. I get either a condo or a townhouse. Mm-hmm. I've not graduated up yet to where I got the baller house. Maybe next year. But yeah, I get a little townhouse or a condo. And I don't like to stay on the strip at all. And so if people are going for any length of time, I really don't recommend that. I recommend that you try and get a place, either Airbnb or VRBO, any of those kind of online things. Get yourself a house, a condo, townhouse, you know, whatever fits your budget. And that way, you know, what I like is you get away from the strip. You can make your meals. So I'm really big on that, as you know, because you've read my books. But, you know, you could do your laundry. You can just, you get a better night's sleep. I just think it's way better for you.
I agree with you 100%. Performance. Yep. I only, I've only, like I said, gone there for 4 or 5 days at a time. And so I stay in a hotel each time, but I always get a hotel with a kitchenette. So I am making my own food. I'll often bring pre-made like green, you know, green smoothies, that kind of thing. I know in the book, you know, Jonathan Little talks about every day his ritual is a green smoothie, mine as well. Yeah. And I've got to do that too. And so, yeah, I don't like staying in the hotel either. It's just, it's no fun. And as soon as you come out of the, you have no quiet time except when you're in a room. Any other time when you're walking to and from your car or to a hotel or whatever, you're just surrounded by noise when you stay on the strip.
Exactly.
And yeah. It doesn't do, I don't think it does you a good night's sleep in the, in that kind of environment for sure. Yeah. One other question I had for you was, I wonder, because you've done a lot of different podcasts and you've been guests and you've had lots of guests on. And it just occurred to me as you were speaking, have you talked to Carlos Welch yet?
Oh, yeah. When I used to do the Mindset Advantage podcast, we had him on. But I'm friendly with him personally. I mean, not like we're BFFs or anything, but we know each other. And we're very similar in terms of kind of how we approach the game.
Yeah.
You know, he used to be a math teacher. So I think we have a lot in common. But last year at the series, I played one of those, I think they're 565 satellites and you get 10,000 in lammers and 100 cash.
Yeah.
And so I played that and I cashed it. And then I saw Carlos and I was like, Carlos, what have we been doing all this time? Like, that was like printing money. So I don't know if I should give this away, but we were like, next summer, which will be this summer, we're like, we need to play a lot more of those because the people playing them just don't know what
they're
doing.
They don't know. I agree with you.
But with you bringing him up made me think of that. Yeah. So I love me some Carlos.
Yeah. So. He's a good guy. And I just remember as you were saying your story, you're not, you know, successful. And I don't want to use the word successful, but you said, you know, you haven't gotten the baller house yet. No. You get a condo or something. And I just remember hearing Carlos on, it might've been a Thinking Poker podcast in an interview with those guys. Might've been 2 years ago. The first time he went to Vegas, he stayed on some woman's couch, like some crazy. Yeah. He told about that story. And it just made me laugh. Like actually going there, saving a ton of money, staying off the strip, but just paying $50 a week for somebody's couch. It's just, it's something I could never do, but I can understand how, you know, some people could do that.
Well, I have a roommate. I have a lady friend. She plays poker in Canada. And so she comes. And so we are able to get, you know, like a 2-bedroom, 2-bath and then split the cost. So it's not so bad, right?
Perfect. Yeah. No, I'm not bad at all that way.
I'm not sleeping on a couch in a room. But Carlos, yeah. In fact, as far as I know, he still stays with that same.
Does he still do that?
He rents a room. Oh, okay. I know he's done it like the last at least couple, 3 years.
Maybe it's the same thing still. Yeah. Because he's
walking distance to the Rio. Yeah. And he just. Mm-hmm.
That's what he talks about. Oh, yeah. He's just, I know that he's just a super nitty guy. Or when it comes to outside of playing poker, those expenses, super nitty. Yeah. Because that's how you keep your role, though, you know?
And, you know, if you think about it, financial independence is kind of a hobby, you know, just studying financial independence and being, you know, involved in reading those types of materials. That's something I've always been interested in. Mm-hmm. And if you don't owe a lot of money or you don't have a lot of big bills, you don't need a lot of money to be financially independent.
That's true.
And that's kind of what he does, but he does it on an extreme scale.
Yes. He goes far away and above and beyond what most of us would do.
He's a champion.
It works for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think that people would be wise to, you know, keep that in mind. I remember one year I went over to where Gripst was staying, and it was the big baller house because it was Greg Merson and Gripst and Tony Gregg and Ben Heath and Charlie Carroll. Right. It was like, and I was like, look at these boys balling out. You know, they had the private chef, they had the masseuse, the pool, you know, the whole nine yards. But I was like, that's my idea. I'll just go over there and visit.
There you go.
But
yep.
I'm
Take
not
advantage
paying,
of your friendship with them. Yeah.
I'm not paying the bill on that,
no,
right?
Nope. Awesome. Well, good luck to you this summer. And then I'm going to be out there June 1st through the 5th, I think. So I'll definitely come find you. Are you going to be, I think last year, did you spend time at like the Red Chip poker booth or something last year? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Last year, Red Chip had a booth, and my publisher, which is D&B Publishing, they kind of went in together on that booth. So they shared the booth. So we did the book signings and things at the Red Chip booth. This year, D&B has their own booth. So we'll be.
So you're going to be hanging out there a little bit, or?
I'll be hanging out there a little bit also because this is my 10th World Series. I plan to do some special fun things. So people want to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Tricia Cardner. You can see, but I'm going to be doing some giveaways and things like that. So follow me on Twitter so you'll know, because as you know, with tournaments, you don't exactly know from day to day necessarily what you're doing. So I'll just be live tweeting whatever the task is to win the prize. But I've been rounding up. I've got, as you could probably tell, I'm friendly with a lot of people. So I'm asking a lot of people if they'll pony up some good prizes too. So it's not just going to be my things, will be my things, but also things from some other people too. So we're going to go big this summer.
Well, good, good. Could you use something as a prize as small as like a couple copies of my book?
Of course, if you want to throw those in, we'd be happy to, especially if you sign them, because, you know, people love to get signed things. So, yeah, it's, do it up and we will come up with a plan to give it away. But I plan to be giving away stuff, you know, most of the summer because I'm there for the whole time.
Perfect.
And it's my 10th World Series. I have to go crazy, right?
You have to. Absolutely. Yes. I'll be there in about 5 years with you going crazy as well.
What's exciting is you're going to be there June 1st through the 5th. The 5th is the tag team event. And I haven't really said who I'm tag teaming with. So this is like a little bit of a, what do you call it? I don't know. You're getting the scoop here. So I'm tag teaming with Jordan Young, Jimaster 11.
Great.
Yeah.
That is good.
So your listeners don't know who he is. He is thebomb.com.
Yeah.
To MTT. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've heard the name. I've never met him or spoken to him, but I know that he knows his stuff. So that'll, I mean, I hope to see big things coming out of that particular event for you.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, it's only the $1,000 or maybe $1,500. I can't remember. It's one of the low buy-ins. So, you know, you don't get very many chips. So obviously you have to run good and things have to fall your way. But, you know, if we can get a little of that and put in a little skill, then mix it all together.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I don't know, but I just think it'll be like a lot of fun too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go. Well, I know from, you know, your co-writer in these books, Jonathan Little, mm-hmm. I know that he did it with his family last year. And from hearing him, he said it was just one of the funnest events. Mm-hmm. Carlos Welch did it too with some of the tournament poker edge guys. And they said it was so much fun. I wish I could do it. I have to leave on the 5th. Mm. I have other commitments here, but, if for any reason I could stay, I will. And maybe I'll find a partner or something.
Well, you've got
I'll
to figure do it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just as a sidebar, Jonathan Little, his parents are so cute and fun. I love them. So shout out to Rita and Larry Little, if you're listening.
Great. Okay. Good. All right. So you mentioned to follow you at Dr. Tricia Carner on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
correct.
For anybody else who, if they want to get a hold of you, if you want to see your, if they want to learn more about you or learn from you, I already mentioned peakpokermindset.com, mm-hmm. but where else can they go to find out more from you?
I also have drtrishacardner.com. That is my website. And then I do have a private Facebook group as well, which people are welcome to join up. Let me get the exact name for you, because I put like all kinds of names in these things that I do. And then I'm like, what? It's always, let's see, it's Poker Mindset Mastery Lab. And that is my private Facebook group. We're getting close to 200 members in there. So
I'm one of them.
Yeah, you're one of them. Yep. So, you know, we post in there. People can ask questions. A lot of times the questions, I will end up using them on the podcast as well. So, you know, I usually type in an answer in the group itself, but then I can give a more expanded answer in the Poker on the Mind podcast that I do with Gareth.
Yep.
So yeah, guys, there's lots of ways to.
Lots of ways, without a doubt. Yeah. And get that Poker on the Mind podcast on iTunes, everybody, for sure. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to that one and leave a comment. Please do that. Leave a comment for Dr. Carner here. She loves it. Yep.
Yes, I do love it. Comments, thumbs up, subscribe, like, mm-hmm. whatever you can do.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, Dr. Carner, thank you so much for your time today. I really do appreciate it. And I'm sure my audience does as well.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I loved it.
Absolutely. Take care. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, bye. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. Visit Dr. Carner's training site at www.peakpokermindset.com. Go there and take the free course called Rev Up Your Poker Success. And if procrastination is an issue of yours, I highly recommend her premium course called Crack the Code, Free Yourself from Procrastination. Now, this was such a beneficial course for me, and I'm really happy. I'm ecstatic. I'm super stoked that I went through the entire thing, and I did every one of the 14 action steps. I'm getting better at not procrastinating as much, and I owe it all to this course. Now it's your turn to take action and do something positive for your poker game.
Now get it on.
This episode is not complete until you head to the show notes page at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod139. Go there for screenshots and links to everything that Dr. Tricia Carner and I discussed today. And of course, we've got some shout-outs. Mr. Graves purchased the Smart HUD. I know that he is now rocking the tables, taking advantage of his opponents, and making buku bucks because of that Smart HUD. So thank you very much, Mr. Graves. And thank you very much to Brian Roy for supporting me on Patreon. Because of that, Brian Roy, I'm able to keep on keeping on every month because of your donation. I really appreciate it. You are a superstar, and I wish you the best of luck in your poker journey. And then, of course, Charles Ogle left a killer book review for, you know, how to study poker on Amazon. It was a long review he left, so I really appreciate that, Charles. But I'm just going to read a section of it here. There is no way of succeeding without strong study habits. I'm living proof of this fact. I've read many poker books over the years that I never studied, and then I would wonder why I wasn't getting better. No one had taken the time to write a book on how to study poker until Sky Matsuhashi came along. I feel like I have finally found the poker teacher and author that I've been looking for a long time. I'm looking forward to his next book that may come out in July of this year. I feel like Sky's the teacher that gets me and knows how to teach me where I can finally learn. Well, thank you so much for that, Charles. I really appreciate that review. It was a really good review, really long, and I hope you really are getting some great benefit out of the book. And if you have any questions, if anybody has any questions about the book, how to apply the different study techniques I talk about, just send me an email. You know, I'd be glad to reply. But thanks again, Charles. I appreciate that. And we also have a few different webinar purchases this month. Scott Olson and Andy, they both purchased the Poker Mathematics webinar coming up on the 27th of May. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the webinar and to teaching you. And Mark Warner is looking forward to it, of course, as well. And then Carlos Cortez bought the Expert Hand Reading Lab. Thank you very much, Carlos, for that. If you have any questions, if anybody has hand reading questions, send them on in. But Carlos, Scott, and Andy, you are doing your part to improve your game by purchasing those. The next step is actually going through and completing the webinars, watching the entire thing, getting to work on whatever I discuss in those webinars to improve your game. So make sure that you finish the webinars. Step one is getting the webinar. Step two is going through it. So complete that step two, please. And thank you very much, guys. Thank you so much for listening today. And of course, a humongo thanks to Dr. Tricia Cardner for coming onto the show. I really enjoyed talking to her, and I hope y'all enjoyed it as well. There are links galore in the show notes for ways you can get in touch and learn more from her. Alrighty, if you can type the words Smart Poker Study, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. Just send me an email as well to sky@smartpokerstudy.com. I reply to every single email. Not just with a, hey, thanks for emailing, and then cutting it at that. No, no, no. I reply with a full answer to whatever question you might send me. So please send them on in. I appreciate it. Alrighty, Poke Peeps. Next week in episode 140, I'll return to the Poker Math Minimum Effective Dose. We're going to talk implied odds and speculative hands like pocket pairs and suited connectors. Word of mouth is the best advertising, so thank you very much for sharing this show with other poker people. Your sharing and caring is what helps us grow. Until next time, study smart, play much, and make your next session the best one yet. I